Good morning, everyone. Today is March 21st, 10:02 a.m. There is a quorum present. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving right along to item number four. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration of possible approval of the agenda for March 21st, 2023. Let me just make note that Commissioner Gilman is not joining us today, so it's just Commissioner Mitchell and myself. With that said, Commissioner Mitchell, Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions on the agenda?
I do not have any questions on the agenda. Are we going to proceed with it as organized, or are we going to change up the order on things at all?
Let's see what Austin's got on tap.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to ask that today we remove number seven, staff reports. There will be an opportunity, I let everybody know, Thursday at our special meeting if they do have something they'd like to bring up or under a time limitation today.
Okay. So just item number seven is going to be removed?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. With that said, is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder for folks on Zoom, you can use the raise your hand feature or you can send us a message via the chat. One more time, is there any public comment today regarding today's agenda? Not seeing any. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda with the one noted change of removing item seven.
All right, there's a motion. I'm going to second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number five is today's consent agenda. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have any questions about today's consent agenda?
I do not. Thank you.
All right, is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
All right, there's a motion. I'll second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to public comment. Item number six, public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. These comments should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. And those comments should be limited to the agendized topic. Is there any public comment today? All right, not seeing any public comment. We're going to move right along to item number eight, which is board comment. Start off to my left. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything for us today?
I don't have any comments. Thank you.
All right. I only have one comment, and that is if we are expecting some weather, like they're predicting, just keep in mind that, as things warm up, there's still a potential for flooding, so sandbags are still available, and that's all I have today. Moving right along to item number nine is discussion for possible action. It's a public workshop to provide direction to staff and the contractor regarding elements to be included in the draft RFP for a successor franchise agreement for the collection, transfer, processing, and disposal of municipal solid waste and recyclables in Story County, and for the draft RFP to be brought back to the board for further consideration. County Manager?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have much to say other than to introduce the topic, Austin Osborne, for the record. As you all approved Sloan Vasquez McAfee to put an RFP together for solid waste collection and recycling and management services, Joe Sloan is up with us today, and he's going to go through you with you and the public a workshop to look at the items that would build up an RFP or a request for proposal to ultimately go out to bid. This board will have another opportunity after today also to consider a final RFP before it goes out. At this point, I'd like to introduce Joe. Come on up, and he has a PowerPoint, and we'll be happy to help and guide us through this process.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. What up, Joe? Thanks.
Good morning, Mr. Osborne, county staff, commissioners.
Good morning.
I'm Joe Sloan, founding principal with the firm Sloan Vasquez McAfee. We are exclusively provide consulting services to municipalities and to private sector industry folks in the solid waste and recycling industry, and we're happy to be assisting the county on this procurement. The questions that will be raised today, and I know that gentlemen are aware of this, but for the public, the discussion today, these aren't final decisions. These are to get items in play that will be included in the documents. And the documents that we are underway, that are being prepared as we speak, are a request for proposals and a draft contract, service contract. And so the things that we discuss today and the direction that we get today will be included in those documents, which will be brought back to you, hopefully, maybe your second meeting in April. And that's at the point where those decisions will have to be finalized. So with that, I'd just like to start with, do I need to alert somebody as to change the slide? Okay. All right, good. Well, thank you. Today's session is just for us to consider those things that are major components to services that may or may not be provided, and the method in which they will be provided, the exclusivity versus non-exclusivity, new equipment versus used, mandatory service versus non-mandatory service, those types of things. And so we need to have that discussion, and that's what we'll bring back to you in April. So the first thing on the agenda is the cost of the proposal. We'd like to, do this as a public service, but we have kids and grandkids that also need to eat. So this is a for-fee service that we provide, and it's not uncommon. In fact, it is the most common in a municipal procurement that the proposer or the successful proposer or proposers actually pay for the cost of the procurement. So you have hired us to do this. You're going to have staff time that's involved in the deliberation and the finalization and management of this whole process. And so sometimes municipalities opt to have a proposer fee, and that is that everybody who wants to propose has to submit a check with their proposal in order to be able to submit a proposal. The second way of doing it, and the most common, is that the selected or the successful contractor, upon execution of the contract, writes a check to the county for the cost of the procurement. So that is something that we would include in the RFP because they would need to know that it would be a cost of doing business in the contract over whatever the term of years are. So that's an item for discussion. Is that something that you'd like to see as a component of the RFP?
Asking that question?
Yeah, I'm asking. Yeah, we can include covering the cost of the procurement for the successful proposer in the contract documents and in the RFP or not.
Okay. I'm trying to think the best way to handle this. So I'll ask you, and then okay. On each one of these points, I'll probably take public comment and see.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions on how you want to handle the divvying up the cost of this RFP?
May I add one point? I meant to make this. Sorry. You can kind of spread some of the pain of covering that entire cost of procurement by making it a proposer fee on the front end, but that also may diminish the number of respondents that you get to your RFP. So that's kind of the dilemma. If you know you want to proceed with something, making it as a part of the proposal process as opposed to part of the successor fee could diminish the number of proposals that you get. So anyway.
And the dollar amount that we're talking about?
You're talking about probably total beginning to end over this kind of 18-month process is around $100,000.
Okay. So.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm happy to give a few thoughts. I'd love to hear whatever other input people have. Right off the bat, I think my first inclination is that I don't want to create a barrier to entry, especially for if we already have a fairly limited pool of potential applicants. I think that I'd like to see the best that everyone is able to give us, regardless of if they have to pony up to at least play the game. Mm-hmm. As far as offsetting it within, you know, if someone wins the contract, a little bit of mixed feelings there, because we know how business works. You know, the business passes on the cost to their customers, and so in essence the ratepayers would end up paying for that. Does that really benefit us in the long run versus just supporting the cost of going through a proper process out of county general funds? So those are kind of the things that are on my mind right now as we look at different ways we can structure it.
Yeah, and I think those are very reasonable approaches. When we first undertook this program, I was under the impression that the county was paying for the cost, mm-hmm. and that there was no reimbursement. So, you know, using your logic, I would say, you know, either we just absorb that cost amongst the county, and not risk any increased rates because of a, you know, having to come up with $100,000 over a 5-year contract. If we are going to do it, I say that the winner would end up paying that cost and spread it out amongst the time of the contract. So is there any public comment regarding this specific issue? All right. So
Jim, are you able to see if there's any... Perfect, thank you.
So at this point, I think, you know, if you're comfortable, I say we just absorb the cost. It's part of doing business. That's what I was under the impression of in the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be quite honest. It feels a little gimmicky to say, hey, we're getting reimbursed for it, when in reality, this is to provide mm-hmm. services to the residents of the county, which... That's where it's going to come from. So,
right.
So I don't feel the need to shuffle that around.
Okay.
What, Joe, thoughts on that, that approach?
I'm in complete agreement. It's a good rationale, and it's not an uncommon discussion. It's good insight. I will just say this: everything we're going to talk about today has an impact on rates. Everything. And that $100,000 spread over 5 or 7 or 10 years or whatever would end up making maybe a 5 cents per month difference on somebody's bill, sure. You know, amortized over, which is what would be done. But it's the same thing with everything we're going to discuss. Same right. thing with senior rates or with vacation holds or with anything. The contractor still has ongoing costs at that. They have to account for all that. It's not like none of it's free. Somebody doesn't pay directly out of their pocket for it, but all the other ratepayers pay for it because they have their fixed costs that have to get covered, and it's in their rates. So that's the only issue. But your discussion, in my mind, is solid, and I know that's not something we had discussed before. When I was putting this list together, it was one of the things that came to my mind that you might want to consider.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so the way I'm going to leave it is county's going to cover the cost of procurement.
For now, I think.
Okay, so you can, if you, what the documents that I bring back to you in April won't have that provision in it. If you guys want to reintroduce it, we can do it at that time. Because what we'll be doing at that time is making whatever final decisions you want to make on things to include in the new contract. Okay.
Fair enough.
The evaluation methodology. Evaluation methodology is very important because there are things that are going to be really important in your community that you might want to weight higher than others. In some communities, bottom line is price. That's it. And you might see, of all the things that get factored in this, and by the way, it's the reason that a solid waste procurement is not like a normal public works procurement. A normal public works procurement, everything is, you know, I want a 2023 Ford F-350 crew cab, you know, pickup with these provisions, and you send that out, and everybody bids on the exact same thing. In a procurement like this, and that's an acquisition of a piece of equipment, but it'd be the same with paving a sidewalk or a street or building a sewer line. Everybody's bidding on the same specs. In a solid waste procurement, we define the outcomes that we expect, but we allow the proposers to tell us how they want to do it. And then it gives judgment to you regarding the quality of services that are being offered. And so price is a component, but it's not the only component. Like, for instance, the financial ability of the company to actually be able to perform. That's something that's important. The transfer station management proposal that they give you. We can tell people what we want as a bottom line. We want the transfer station open and available to the public in these hours, but one company may offer a Cadillac and another company may offer a Yugo. And so those are things where you get to make qualitative as opposed to quantitative decisions in a process like this. So what I could do coming back to you is I could give you the, there's like, and I listed these here, proposer experience, their approach to service, how do they propose to do the service. You know, I've heard in the public meetings that we had last fall, you know, there are some issues, service issues in some areas of the county, and somebody's solution to those problems may be preferable to another proposer's solutions to those problems. So their service approach, pricing, references. The references are typically a very important point, and that is what other municipalities has this proposer served and how happy are those municipalities with the contract services. So each of those are things that may be weighed, and they can each be given a percentage of weight. Like you might give, in this example here, 30, 30, 30, and 10. You know, 10 would go to references, or you could do 20, 20, 50, and 10, 50 for price. You could do any manner of things. Now, unless you want to deliberate all that and how to weight it right now, I could, in the document, I could put kind of what I think is standard in terms of weighting, and then when we come back in April, you guys can deliberate that and decide how you want to weight it.
Does that work okay for you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it works for me too.
Okay. Okay, competitiveness of rates. Now, this becomes a very important issue because it really guides everything in relationship to pricing. And so just setting the table plainly, if you have an incumbent, which you do, who has equipment that's been in service, and all they're going to do is just maintain their current equipment that's in place and carry on that into the next 5, 7, 10 years, whatever term you decide in terms of a contract for service, it's very, very difficult for any third party, any outsider, any other proposer to be able to come in and compete with that on a price basis. Unless you have some requirement in terms of uniformity of equipment that's provided. And by uniformity, I don't mean everybody has to use the same truck and the same bin and the same cart, but that everybody would have to provide new trucks, new bins, new carts. Or if everybody's going to provide used trucks, used bins, used carts, that there be some way of being able to monetize that and evaluate it. So that's the point for consideration is in order to make sure that you're when you're receiving proposals that you're actually comparing apples and apples, oranges and oranges, you would need to have a uniform equipment condition in the RFP. Now, it's always possible to require all the bidders to bid new equipment. And once you see those bids and it is apparent that you have a good, qualified, low bidder, it would be possible at that point after you've selected that person to negotiate, or that company to negotiate a new contract with, it would be possible at that point to say, what would be your price if we allowed you to use used equipment? So, but at least if you start the process with everybody being required to offer new trucks and equipment, it gives you an opportunity to do a more of an equal footing proposal evaluation. Okay. So the question is, how do you want to go about it? If ultimately, let's just say this for sake of consideration, let's just say that it's garbage. We want the public health and safety aspect of garbage collection to be taken care of in our county. We don't care how you do it. And that could very well be the approach, and that would be a responsible, you know, public position to take. So that sounded like judgment for me. I didn't mean it that way. Mm-hmm. But that I'm just saying, if that's the bottom line, then in that case, you know, price would be 80% of things, and you don't really care whether they do it with used or new equipment. You're just looking for the best price from somebody that's qualified to do it. So that's the deliberation.
Okay. You have any preferences?
Well, I have a couple thoughts. You know, while I certainly appreciate the value of kind of being able to compare apples to apples and opening up the possibility for non-incumbent bidders, I think the bottom line comes down to providing a service for the residents of the county. And price is certainly one component of that. It's not the only thing. But, I don't feel like we need to create this hypothetical to compare applicants when we're dealing with the real world, which is, I mean, I don't care about new equipment, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And if in the long run it's a better outcome for the users, then my feeling is that's an appropriate approach. But.
Yeah, personally, yeah. My main goal would be to just make sure they get the job done at a reasonable price. New or used equipment is irrelevant. County manager?
Looking at your equipment, new equipment may not be a big deal, but what about the type of equipment? If they're the problem, we have a Lockwood, for example, I know they're outside the franchise area, but we do an interlocal agreement with them. And then we have in the Highlands the very large trucks they use are incapable of handling the weather conditions and some of the road conditions. Is it possible we can look at the type of equipment needed to be reliable in those two communities should be part of the response. They decide what it is. Right? If it's pickup yep. trucks, fine. If it's the medium truck, fine. If they can make it happen with a big truck, fine.
We would, as a component of the RFP, we would have a section on their approach to service. And so we would want them to define how it is that they're going to provide service in each of these areas. And so that give us the opportunity to evaluate that. If somebody says, we're sending all big three-axle front loaders into the Highlands, we know that that's not something that we're really interested in. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, and that's kind of, you know, to me, that's more important is the way they would provide the service, which may bleed over into equipment, but it's not, I don't believe it's a criteria that we should put on the front end.